saw the board out front, it says, now that's ministry. And so we've got, I'm going to talk about preparing for ministry, and we've got three preachers today. Everybody say, oh, praise the Lord. We're going to feed you real well after the service. But now here's the thing, and don't be watching your clocks, because Spencer's going to be our timekeeper, and we're going to go for 10 minutes apiece. One of the pastors said he's already got 12 minutes, so pray 2 minutes off of him somehow. But I'm going to talk about preparing for ministry, and then my associate's going to come and talk about team building, and then Eric's going to come up and talk about getting off your duff and doing ministry. So everybody will be in one of those three categories, right? And so if we got a timekeeper, though, so we're going to keep it to 30 minutes or 32 minutes, I guess, if we give Eric 2 minutes. I don't know if there's that much grace in here today since lunch is on or not. We'll see. But anyway, before we do, we just wanted to honor you, and Millie's going to come, and she gave you a challenge just to invite people to our anniversary today, and so I'm going to let her do the honors of giving out the gift. This year, we're giving the gift that really everybody loves. It's green, it's warm, it's cash. So.
Okay. If you brought a guest today, would you please stand up with your guest? And we'll count to see who brought the most guests, and they will be the winner.
If you invited a guest, right?
If you invited a guest.
Okay. Come on.
Come on, stand up.
Wow.
Oh, my. How many rows do you have, Mark and Jan? You have 2 rows?
How many people?
What, can you count your people? 16.
16 people. Wow. 16 people.
Okay.
What about the Dilly crew over here?
That's Dilly? How many?
13 over here.
Wow.
Anybody beat that? No? Well, I invited 2 of my neighbors came. So. Yeah.
We just appreciate everyone that's here today, and we just are thankful that you're here to help us celebrate the 22nd.
22nd anniversary. Thank you very much. And the gift goes to the Caldwells, I guess. Actually, you might want to give it to Jan, you know, Jan. Yeah, Jan, it goes to Jan. She's the one that really, yeah. So we appreciate it. And I have 2 guests over here that called this week, and they said, you know, there's a preacher. In fact, she was talking to me. One of them was talking to me and said, you know, there's a preacher out there at Prayer of Faith somewhere, and he sings, and we're looking for his CDs, and we just wondered if this is the place, and do you know where he's at? And I said, this is him. Oh, really? So I said, yeah, heck, I'll deliver. And so I delivered them 2 CDs. And so thank you, ladies, for coming today and visiting with us. Yeah, one of them. I'm sure when they listened to my country gospel CD and then they came out here and they hear this beautiful band, they think, is this the right house or did we get... So this is just for you all come today. Well, King Jesus, I know you hear me when I pray. King Jesus, I know you hear me when I pray. Well, I was down here in trouble. You sent an angel by my way. That was for you today, okay? Just for coming. Yeah. And then Miss Dorothy, did you enjoy Miss Dorothy? Wasn't that awesome? Yeah, I saw you ladies swaying when she came. And by the way, that's ministry, and my time hadn't started yet. This is my introduction. You got to connect before you preach, okay? I'm connecting. Come here, Miss Dorothy. You know, this is ministry, isn't it? When you get up, how old are you now?
84.
And she's still got a song in her heart, and she's still singing. So I appreciate you very much. That's ministry. It's a pleasure. That's right. That's right. So that's ministry right there. Amen. Now you can start the clock. If you have your Bible and you want to turn with me to Mark's Gospel, we're going to look at Mark, the 12th chapter. Everybody have your sword today and ready to learn just a little bit? Did you bring your Bible? Yeah, if you didn't steal your neighbor's Bible or something, get you a Bible. Come on. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to talk to you today is about preparing for ministry. And how many knows if you're going to prepare for ministry, we all have to come into ministry the same way. I don't care what your cultural background, your ethnic background, we all have to come the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ. How many know if you're going to do ministry, there's only one way, and that's through the cross of Jesus Christ. And so what I would take you to would be the old familiar verse of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He what? He gave His only begotten Son. That who? Whosoever. How many knows when it says whosoever, you can put your name right there. Doesn't matter how you feel about yourself or if you feel worthy. When God said whosoever, you can put your name right there. And so whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And somebody said, well, it doesn't say will not, it says should not. How many know it says should not perish but have everlasting life? And then in Romans 10:13 it says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so He didn't make it hard. He made it very easy for us to come in and to start ministry by receiving Christ and getting our hearts and our lives and our minds all cleaned up. How many know that's the way He set it up? He made it very easy. Kind of like one guy said, you know what, it just seems too easy. It seems too cheap. And on our part, it's easy. How many knows for Him, He took a beating. He was nailed to the cross. The crowns were placed on His head. His beard was plucked. And so it wasn't easy for Him. It was a great expense and challenge to Him, and so was it for His Father. Can you imagine giving up your son and sacrificing one of your children for somebody else? I'm afraid if they asked me to sacrifice my kids for the world, I would say, well, I don't know what the world's going to do, but I know I'm not going to sacrifice my child for you. But God so loved us so much that He sacrificed His only son. And so the way we prepare first is by coming to Jesus Christ and letting Him cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to prepare first by coming to Jesus. And then here's what I think we need to do once we come to Jesus Christ, and in just a simple, sincere prayer from your heart saying, Lord, forgive me and be my Lord and Savior. I repent of all my sins. I turn from them and I turn to You, and I won't walk in that anymore. That's all salvation is. It's simple. God made it simple for us. And so the second thing I was thinking about is when you come to Christ, and then in the age in which we live, has anybody ever carried any baggage around with you in life? You know, if you could just strap on your baggage today, would you look like this trying to walk? Huh? And so the second thing I think you need to in preparing for ministry is this. I think that we need to go to Romans 8:1 and it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit and not after the flesh. And so what we have to do is say, you know what? I'm not only going to come to Christ, but I'm going to accept what He has done for me, and I'm just going to lay all the baggage back here. From this day forward, no condemnation is going to follow me. Because I'm going to take God at His Word and say, I'm able to lay it down. Because He said, if I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm not walking in that old hateful human way anymore, then there's no condemnation. You know, the devil's job is to condemn you and me every day. Minimize what we do. Aren't you glad Dorothy's still singing? Aren't you glad she said, well, you know what, I may skip a word and I may not see the words as well, but I still got a song and I'm still singing for Jesus. If I mess up, I'll just laugh and I'll go right on and we'll have fun. Now don't quit preparing, okay? You keep preparing. But I'm saying if you do mess up, sometimes we get so condemned over messing up that we just lay everything down and pick up the condemnation and there's no glory in that. And so God says, listen, you don't have to walk into that anymore. So I'm here to tell you to don't walk in condemnation. Let this be your anniversary day that you can lay down unforgiveness and you can lay down bitterness. Oh, but Pastor, they've hurt me and you don't know what I'm going through. Well, Jesus knows what you're going through. And He said, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. In fact, Paul said, I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So whatever you're carrying today, I just want you to lay it down. Just let this be the beginning of your new anniversary to say, I'm not carrying that stuff anymore. Jesus, He's cleansed me. I went to the cross. I've repented. And I'm just going to lay it down. Now, how many knows life's going to come back up and it's going to hurt you somewhere? A few years ago, one of my very dearest relatives just hurt me. It's a kind of a business deal. You ever done business in family? Don't do it! And so I did what I thought was a favor for a very close relative of mine. And when we were all done, she says, well, what if you lose money? I said, what if I do? I said, I do this kind of business on the side. And if I lose money, that's me. It's not you, but it'll help you because this won't buy another piece of property and they needed to sell and it wouldn't sell. And so I bought it and I fixed it up and made a little money. And they said, well, we could have made more money if you hadn't bought that. I thought I could punch you in the nose if I wasn't a Christian too, but I'm not going to because I don't walk in that anymore. But I'm telling you, it'll just come up. Somebody is going to hurt you, but just here's what you do. Process it through and say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk according to the Spirit. How many knows walking in the Spirit is a choice? And so you can have a choice. You can have a choice. Now, how many minutes do I have? 2 minutes? I have more than 2 minutes, right? Okay. In our text, I want you to turn here. Watch this. And this is what I want you to get right here. No condemnation. And I love you singing. That was great this morning because this is what I want you to see. In Mark 12:41, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and sat and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Listen, many who were rich put in much. Some of us that don't have as much as others think, well, my little bit just won't matter. Let me tell you, it matters in the kingdom. It matters in the kingdom. And he says this, it says that one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. And one of them says that it's like 2 pennies. The Living Bible says like 2 pennies, you know. And see, and Jesus called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say unto you, this poor widow has put in more. Everybody say more. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. Huh? All those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Now here's what I want you to get. Here's what I want you to get. When you're preparing for ministry, you're getting the vessel clean, I want you to know that God never looks at you like we look at you. What you saw this morning, what Dorothy gave, seemed small, didn't it? Compared to all of this with the lighting and the different musicians flowing. But here's what I know. It matters to God which ones sacrificed the most to do what they did. Whether it's given in your tithe, or it's given of your talent, or it's given of your time, God doesn't look at it like we do. One of our little grannies, this is what she does, and I hope she don't care if I call her granny because that's what she is, I'm just identifying her. But she bakes bread, and she told us in her last leadership meeting, and if you're a first-time visitor, you'll get one of these and you'll thank me later. But this is banana nut bread made by Miss Marlene. And she said in our leadership meeting the other day, she said, I don't use old bananas. I use fresh bananas for my bread.
Amen.
That's ministry. That's ministry. When you get up and sing with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, you don't think, well, you know, I just don't have all the instruments and I don't have music and I don't have... You know what? Stop. Quit being concerned about what you don't have and say, what do I have that I can get up and give it away? Harrison and I are part of a homeowners association, and when it comes time to volunteering and getting in the dirt and stuff, you know what? Sometimes there are very few people. And now everybody's not called to do that, but some people are called. And here's what I've learned, and I'll leave you with this. You know what? Whatever you're doing, whether it's baking banana bread or singing a song for Jesus, he said, if you'll get up and do it as a sacrifice unto the Lord, he said, because here's the thing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And guess what he was doing that day? He was watching. You know what he's doing to you today? He's watching. Was it a sacrifice for you to get here today? Because somebody in the house got the best award for sacrificial effort for getting here. And I know all you mothers that cooked it. They said, well, it was me. It was me. But I don't know who it was, but Jesus did. So don't quit. Don't worry about tooting your horn. Just come on and give a sacrifice. Some of you lifted your hands in praise today and just give all you had there in praise and worship. You know what? That's a sacrifice of praise. And Jesus saw that. And he's still looking and he's still telling the Father, that's the best giver in the house. Whatever you're doing, whatever it is in life, volunteering, being a husband, being a wife, being a dad, do it in a sacrificial way. And you'll get the same reward and the same compliments that Jesus gave the young widow or the widow. You'll have the same benefits and the same blessing. But do it as unto the Lord. Do it as a sacrificial gift in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Where's my helper? Come on up.
All right, to save time, I'm saving 30 seconds. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 as I'm coming on up here. I'm going to start with a scripture reading first. We're going to do a scripture reading from Psalm 133, verse 1 through 3. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. All right, as we go to chapter 4, we're going to read in verse 1. As you're turning there, I want to tell you a brief story about unity. There was this old farmer out in his fields, working his fields. And as he looked up, he could see a highway truck coming down the road off in the distance. And it stopped, and the driver got out, and he dug a hole, got back in. About a minute later, a passenger got out, filled the hole back up, and got back in the vehicle. Well, this carried on several times, and he got near and near about every 20 yards. And finally, he got right by the farmer. The farmer walked over to the fence and said, "Hey, what in the world are you guys doing? One of you guys gets out, you dig a hole. A minute later, the other guy gets out, and he covers the hole back up." Well, the guys in the highway truck said, "Oh, that's easy, man. We're on the highway conservation team. Unfortunately, the guy that plants a tree called in sick today." Okay, what does that mean? The bottom line is, if there isn't unity, there isn't productivity. So we've got to be in unison, and we've got to have teamwork building that together. Eric, I'll try and shave 2 minutes off mine so you'll be right on time here. Great teamwork makes things happen more than skills, money, or qualifications. If you bring together people that want to make a team and make it happen, they're going to make it happen. You've got all kinds of guys in sports. Take sports, for example. They've got different skills. A football team, everybody has a different skill. Individually, they're not squat, but together as a team, they can win games. They can persevere, and they can win, and they can defeat. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I'm sorry, we're going to start in verse 11, not 1. And we're going to go through 16. "And he gave himself, and he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." And by the way, if you're searching for a church and you keep being carried to and fro, it's time to get planted. God wants you to find a church, find one that preaches the Bible, find one that just is grounded in faith and in the Bible, and stick to that one. Just quit being tossed to and fro, looking for the entertainment value. Look for the spiritual value in the church. "But speaking the truth in love," Ms. Thelma mentioned that Wednesday night as we talked in our Bible study about when we do things and we speak the truth, do it in love with a spirit of gentleness also, "may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share," now listen to this, "causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Amazing. True teamwork is a two-way street. When we offer to help other people, we have to be receptive when they offer help to us. And a lot of times in leadership or in teamwork, we think, "Well, I've got all the answers. Let me tell you how to do it." We have to be receptive to having people tell us when help is offered to us to receive that. The Bible is full of stories and examples of teamwork. From Adam and Eve, God said, "Adam, you shouldn't be alone. You need a partner." Adam and Eve. Noah and his family, while the people were mocking Noah, his family was there, teamwork, building, setting out to accomplish a task that God gave him and his family. Nehemiah could not build that wall by himself. He needed a team. He did it in 52 days using teams and families. Moses had a team of leaders around him. Jesus had the ultimate leadership team of 12 disciples with him. 12 disciples to accomplish his goal and his mission. In Matthew 28:19, he gave us a mission to carry on. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Now that takes teamwork, not one person. Jesus could not do that alone. It takes teamwork. Individuals may win trophies, but teams win championships. And we have a championship we need to win, so we need to develop our team. I've got a video up here I want you guys to check out. It just a brief video. It shows about teamwork and the importance of teamwork and how that builds and works together.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
And I'm Chachi.
We're Get In Here Ministries. And, you know, Chachi and I, we couldn't be more excited about the idea of teamwork.
And today we're going to take the idea of teamwork and paint you a beautiful picture through the medium of music. Yeah. Take it away, Johnny.
Okay.
Boom.
You know, hearing Johnny sing by himself was rather putrid and boring. It's amazing what happens when you add others to the mix. Check this out.
You know, through modern technology, we've been able to do this. I'll tell you, though, about teamwork. You know, it's less about me and more about we. Let me take a harmony.
We all know the old saying that there's no I in team, but there's also no selfish hypocrisy in team either. Let me throw a dato in the mix.
You know, when people say no man is an island, I used to think, of course no man is a piece of land surrounded by a body of water. Then I realized what they mean. I think I get it.
Somebody once said that none of us is as smart as all of us. And I don't really know what that means, but I know I like it. Now watch me break up something special.
You know, I think we've made some pretty good points about teamwork and the value therein of it.
And if teamwork were a person, I'd love them as all get out.
Save that 30 seconds. I needed it for that computer piece to come together. Okay. It doesn't matter whether you think you have talent or don't, as Pastor Jack said. You may be the dato boy. You may be the guy that brings in something really special with, you know, that song. But if you have a gift, you guys need to use that thing. I'm going to share three steps real quick, and then I'll be done to building effective teamwork. Number one, team members must care for one another. Must care for one another, often sacrificing time, effort, comfort, and their own desires to accomplish that. Number two, team members must communicate effectively with one another. Number three, team members' rights must take second place. We have a job in teamwork to build God's kingdom, and we will fall and we will fail if we do not utilize teamwork. If we try and do it on our own, it's impossible to do. But we can do that with each other and with God's help in that. Matthew 12:25 says, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Today you may say, what can I do? What can we do? What can we do together? Can we build a home together? Can we give hope to the hopeless? Can we bring light into the dark? Can we feed the hungry together? Well, together we can do that. What can I change? What can we change? Can we change a city? Can we change this church? Can we change a nation? Are we able to change a world? Together we can do that. We're entrusted with a mission to share His love around the world. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another through teamwork. We are God's people, amen? Teamwork. Now that's ministry. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you all here. Thank you, guests, for joining us with our anniversary today. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 5. The book of John chapter 5. Thought I'd ask you real quick if I look more younger with my glasses or without my glasses. Does it make a difference? Without my glasses, with my glasses. Well, I tried that one time. I had somebody pray over my eyes that I'd lose my glasses, and in faith I drove home without them, and Kish is grasping the dashboard in faith, I think, hoping we'll make it home okay. But, you know, sometimes it's just meant for people to keep what they have and carry on in their life with what they do. In the book of John, chapter 5, we come across this interesting story similar in the same way. Read with me in verse 2. John chapter 5, and I thought I'd turn there. Sorry about that. Let me catch up with you. In John chapter 5, verse 2, it reads as this. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos. And in these lay a multitude of those who are sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after stirring up the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there, who had been there 38 years in his sickness. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been a long time in that condition. And he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered to him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your pallet and walk." And immediately the man became well and took up his pallet and began to walk. And that was the Sabbath on that day. You know, soon after the discovery of the New World, Europeans began making a long journey across the ocean in hopes of finding something. Some were hoping to find new life. Some wanted some adventure. Others wanted religious freedom from the oppression that they had in their homeland. And still there were others who came in search for gold. One was a Spanish conquistador named Ponce de Leon. Ponce de Leon and his men were the first Europeans to discover parts of Puerto Rico, parts of Mexico, and Florida. And in his quest to find gold, he came across many Indians there that told him of this spring that bubbled out of the ground. And it was said to have magical powers from this spring that bubbled up. And anyone who drank from this spring would be healed in any disease or physical problem they may have, plus their bodies would once again be youthful. It was appropriately called the Fountain of Youth. Ponce de Leon made this his lifelong goal to find that fountain. However, in the year 1521, he was struck by a poison arrow and died. Obviously, he was unsuccessful. Well, 15 years prior to Ponce de Leon, Jesus strolled into the place called Bethesda. And he found a scene there that would probably repulse many of us today. Lying and sitting around this pool were many men and women, and many of them boys and girls. And they were all in search of this elusive fountain of youth. You see, it was believed that every time this water would stir in that pool, which was connected to an underground stream, healing powers would appear, and whoever touched the water first would find healing. And once a rumor had started, it was hard to stop it, and quite possibly someone may have one time had been healed. But now it was very difficult to get people to leave that pool. You can imagine the smell of the place. Uneaten food or discarded food that had been eaten. Garbage, human garbage. Maybe some feces. Human feces mixed in with that somewhere outside the pool. Because they didn't want to get far from this pool. So it probably was a putrid place to kind of go around. Well, Jesus approaches this man who had most likely been bedridden for the past 38 years. We know he was a beggar, making a living off of what others gave him. He may have either paid from the money that he'd received or had people bring him food and others to take care of his needs. Life for this man might have not been so bad. Because you see, some biblical scholars have looked into an Eastern culture, and they find that Eastern beggars often lose a good living by being cured. Because that means once they're cured, they need to go to work to earn a living. So there was a risk if he was cured. Jesus lived in that culture, and so he understood that way of thinking. So when Jesus stopped and asked him a question that seems to kind of astound our senses, because it's obvious what kind of condition he was, Jesus says, "Do you wish to get well?" And then he says to the man, "Pick up your mat and walk. Get off your mat." Now this wasn't a test of faith. It wasn't a test of faith in Jesus, because this man had no idea who this guy was. He didn't know it was Jesus if you read on in the scripture. But it was a test of willingness to see. It was a test of willingness to see if he would make an effort to help himself. Jesus asked this man to attempt the one thing he had not done in 38 years. And when the man made an effort, he was healed at once. But notice, in order for this man to be healed, he had to stretch. He had to stretch beyond himself of what he was normally thinking. And if we want to get well, there must be an effort for us to rise up and get up off our mat. One man tells about a friend that he had in a wheelchair. He'd been in there for 15 years in that wheelchair, and the doctor said that he probably could have been walking today if he would have been more committed to his physical therapy when he was younger and practiced the physical therapy techniques. But he didn't. So he didn't want to walk that much. Contrast that to a man named Tony Melendez, who plays the guitar with his toes. Born with no arms, Tony Melendez, with an audience, he tells Jesus Christ how he came into his life, and then he skillfully plays the guitar with his toes, his bare feet. That's incredible. Can you imagine the tremendous amount of effort and skill and determination that went into that? But today, at the same time, we have many people who have not risen from their mat because they become comfortable with it. They become comfortable with their mat. They've been healed by the Savior. They come to church faithfully, but sadly they become comfortable with their mat. They can't imagine ever moving beyond it, because it's become so much of a part of them, a part of their being, a part of their comfort. You know, this time of year it's kind of easy to guess which is cold and hot. So you wear a jacket sometimes, and sometimes if you leave it on too much, you get a little warm. But when you take it off, you kind of get chilly, and then you want to put it back on again, regardless if you may be, if the room temperature is warm. It's because you become so comfortable wearing that jacket that when you take it off, you get that slight chill and you feel uncomfortable and you want to put it back on. The message I encourage you today with is simply, get off your mat. Rise and walk. Rise and walk to begin to do that which the Savior has called you to do. Many of us have shown up in church hoping for a miracle or something great to take place, just as this man did for 38 straight years. It's a long time. It's a long time for someone to keep coming to church faithfully, hoping for something great to happen in their lives, only not to see it any hope. Many Christians have shown up at church but have not given up their mat, but instead what they've done is they've developed spiritual bed sores. You know the type. You try to move them or try to encourage them or try to get them motivated, and you accidentally touch one of these spiritual bed sores and they get grumpy and bite at you. It's because they've got spiritual bed sores. They're not used to moving off their mat. If you really want to walk with Christ, if you really want to walk with Christ, not just hear about Him, not just pray to Him, not just sing songs to Him, but in our daily life, we've got to get up off our mat. What happens all too many times is we hang on to things so tightly, and it paralyzes us spiritually. And Jesus can heal us of those things, but when He does, we'll be left without an excuse for our lives and the choices we make. If you notice the scripture we just read, what was the first thing out of the lame man's mouth when Jesus said, "Do you want to get well?" "Well, I was here for 38 years, and every time I try to go to the well, someone either steps on me or steps over me. I can't make it. It's just by the time I get there..." It was an excuse. It was an excuse. So the question isn't crazy. The question isn't really crazy, as it echoes down through the ages to us today. Do you want to walk? To the crippled, to the one who's been crippled by past hurts, Jesus asks, do you want to be healed? To the one chained by a secret sin, Jesus asks you, do you want to be loosed? To the one battling an addiction, Jesus asks, do you want to overcome? To the one who has yet to ask Jesus into his heart, he asks, do you want to save? And to all of us who need a healing touch in any part of our life, he asks, do you wish to get well? Because you see, when you begin to walk and you leave that mat behind, then God can start ministering and use you as he pleases in the ministry. And it doesn't have to have an official title to it. He uses you because you're up off your mat, you're useful, you're helping people, you're reaching out to people. Now that's ministry. I remember over 11 years ago, I was sitting out there for the longest time because I had been hurt by a church. And God told me, Eric, get up off your mat. So I'm sitting over there. Matter of fact, I sat over there probably by Bill and Helen Crane where I used to sit. And God said, Eric, get up off your mat. I said, God, I'm coming to church faithfully. Eric, get up off your mat, Eric. Father, I'm singing songs. I even raised my hand. Look at me. Eric, get up off your mat. Father, I pray to you. I really do. I pray. I pray for other people too. Eric, get up off your mat. I finally made my way into the aisle during an invitation time that Brother Jack had held after his sermon. And I walked up here and I put my arm on Pastor Jack and I said, Pastor Jack, I'm ready to work with children. And he encouraged me. We said a prayer. And that was over 11 years ago, touching children, teenagers, adults. But it did not happen until I got up off my mat. I encourage you today, if you become comfortable with your mat, leave it behind. Get up off of it. Because until you get up off of it, you're going to miss out on the true things. Can you imagine this man? He got up off his mat and walked. Can you imagine, in most circumstances, how wobbly his legs would have been after not walking for 38 years? He didn't have physical therapy to teach him to put one foot in front of the other. He got up off his mat and walked. And if you're scared to get up off your mat because you may not know what to do in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, get up off it because he's going to help you. He will lead you the way. You will not wobble when he's behind you and holding you up and leading you the way. Get up off your mat today is my encouragement to you. My encouragement to you. Please stand with me. In preparation for ministry today, finding out something you may do that you don't think is significant, but yet means the world to someone, I would encourage you to develop that, to nurture that, and to use that for the kingdom of God. And for you that has problems with teamwork, that you feel in it you're in it all alone, that you can't do something that God has asked you or revealed to you all alone, there's other people waiting to help you and lift you up and to work with you and to help you become all that God has shown you to do. And for those of you that are comfortable with your mat, I just simply encourage you and challenge you in faith to step off, step out, and walk, and enjoy the kingdom of God, as you're truly designed to do. This morning our invitation is simple. If you don't know Jesus Christ, we would invite you to do that today, to find out the most incredible journey your life will be, by asking him into your life. I'm not talking about knowing about Jesus Christ and say, yeah, I believe he's the Son of God, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about knowing Jesus Christ in your personal life and asking forgiveness of your sins and inviting him in your life to fulfill that emptiness that you've been walking around with. That's knowing Jesus Christ, not knowing about Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that today, today is the perfect opportunity for you to begin to get up off your mat, for you to experience that healing in your life. Maybe you've been sitting on your mat for many years. Maybe you've been hurting by either someone or an organization, and you're tired of people stepping over you, around you, perhaps on you, and you just want some healing today. Maybe you need to be restored. Maybe your life needs to be restored. Maybe you're a child that's just been sitting on your mat, and you want to be healed of your bed sores, the spiritual bed sores you have. Maybe you need to come and ask for repentance. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if He's faithful and just to forgive us if we ask for confession of our sins. The Father is willing to take you back into His arms if you've strayed away. He loves you that much. Maybe some of you need to follow that next step and be baptized to make a public announcement of your commitment to Christ by the illustration of baptism, as Jesus has shown us how important it is. Maybe God's calling you to serve somewhere. Maybe it may be here. It may be somewhere else. But whatever that is, I encourage you today, as we sing, to don't put it off. What a wonderful day to decide to get up off your mat in the anniversary of our 22nd year at Prayer of Faith. What a wonderful milestone that would be if you could do that. Let us sing.
Lights back up back there, Andrew. One more thing we want to do before we have lunch, and if you're visiting today, we welcome you to stay and have lunch with us. Lunch is prepared out these the doors to my left, and then you'll take another left into our fellowship hall right here. The ladies and some of the guys that cook have prepared a wonderful meal for you all today, and so we'd ask you to stay and celebrate with us when we're finished. But for just a minute, I'd like for Adam and Eric to come, and we're going to have a little, really kind of ordaining for them today. Eric and Adam have been faithful servants here for a long time, and a few months ago I asked them about becoming my associate pastor and my executive pastor here at the church, They've been leading Ground Zero, our youth center, for a few years now and done such a wonderful job. In fact, I don't even know what goes on over there half the time because I'm just here and they just handle it. They've done everything. And now they've also raised up a team of young people that are taking over the youth center and just an extraordinary job. And so pray for our youth team as well. They're deciding who's God wanting to lead over there. But I ask them to pray about coming over to the church and helping us to reach some goals that we have here in building the kingdom. And so they've agreed to do that. And I just wanted to kind of give them an official prayer today and let you know that these are your new associate pastor and executive pastor. And we're still kind of defining our roles. We know most of what we'll be doing, but preaching together, teaching together, and then dividing the roles out. One of the things we think about when we talk about leadership in the church is we think about, oh, is this my new boss? How many knows? That might be true in the secular world, but in the spiritual realm, these are your new servants. It's called servant leadership. And so these guys are here to oversee and to help you in whatever needs you have. And so from the book of Romans, I'd just like to say it talks about you that have different spiritual gifts. And I know we all have different spiritual gifts. You can see it in our preaching, our teaching, our the way we act and react. But I'd just like to commend you two at this time. It says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And I just ask you, do you promise to use your gifts that God has given you? And even when you feel like getting back on your mat for a while, don't stay there too long. And use those gifts for the kingdom of God to help oversee this church. And it says, if it's prophecy, then prophesy, which we'd take today as anointed preaching. And if you're called on to do some anointed preaching, do it according to the portion of your faith that's in you. If it's ministry of any area that you're called upon to do that ministry. If it's teaching, to teach with all your might. And then the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If it's giving, give with liberality. And if it's leading, lead with diligence. And if it's showing mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Because sometimes as a pastor, you can get wore out with that cheerfulness thing. Just like you can at your home when you're called on time after time to give mercy. And so do it with cheerfulness, and we commend you to do that. Love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And I know these are prayer warriors. And so distribute it to the needs of the saints. And may God just show you what that is as you come in to serve. Give unto hospitality. Bless those that persecute you and do not curse them. Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And be of the same mind toward one another. And do not set your mind on the high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinions. Talking about sharing the teamwork and people. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Don't avenge yourself. It says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And he says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him drink. And that's the commission we give you today as new pastors to help oversee and lead this church. Not like for our elders to come and for you to join us in prayer, if you would, as we pray over our two new pastors. And if you have needs in the body of Christ, these are the ones you can call on and ask for prayer and support. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this new commission, for these two bright and humble servants that you have given to us. We thank you, Lord, for all of the ministry and the growth and the development of young people that they've invested in Ground Zero, our youth center. And we thank you, Lord, as they transition and out of that into our church. We ask that you would give them a new anointing for a different time and a different place in their walk. We ask, God, that you would give them wisdom beyond their years and passion and grace and compassion for the body that they will help lead. And for those out in the community that they will touch and wherever they will live life, we ask you to be with them and use them in a great anointed way. Let the power of the Holy Spirit saturate them, and may you grow them and give, may they be a sponge for learning and a disciple like Peter and James and John that walked with you. We ask you to just anoint them and speak clearly to them, Holy Spirit, on their part and their role in this body at this particular time. We ask God for angels around them in protection, anointing and blessing, and God, as they might receive criticism from time to time or negative, we ask you, God, to help them to take that and process that with the eyes of Jesus Christ, just like you did when you looked at the man at the pool and said, "It's your day." That they'll give them those kind of eyes to see the needs of the people around the pool waiting, that they can touch them and say, "It's your time to get up and rise and walk." Help them to be encouragers and great shepherds of this body. We ask it for your glory. Inspire their mates and their family and bless their wives and children, Lord, and as they become a part of this ministry. And we thank you, Lord, for this new anointing and direction and wisdom for our two new pastors. We give you praise for them and we honor them today. And we give you glory, Father, for this time in their life. Use them for your glory and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. I think that concludes our service. We do have I would like to say, if you're